in my shower, this is weird, I have a little like phone holder, and I'll literally just like put YouTube on like when I'm there, like playing tutorial stuff, because I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna learn while I'm in here rather than listening to music. So yeah, I love it.
This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm and Garrett Wright.
If you would have told College Brock that you'd be able to take your phone to the shower with you and learn from video tutorials while you're showering in the year 2021, my mind would have been blown.
I mean, just the idea of watching a tutorial on your phone. Like, it was, I had a flip phone in college. Like, I was texting on T9.
Founded by four women athletes at the top of their game, Together has launched a new culture and lifestyle brand to showcase and empower women. Together senior producer Emily Johnson joins us today to talk about story, process, and building a brand from the ground up.
On 37?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I hadn't had it pulled up yet.
Ooh, okay.
Well. I was like, do I need to clap?
No, but it's great. We really don't need to either. It's all for the opening joke bit that we've had running since day one on this episode, and we can't let it die now. So here we are. 57.
There you go.
I'm be honest, we need to let it die soon.
Absolutely not.
No, we're not letting it die.
Okay.
Even if you don't clap, I'm just going to keep editing your clap in. So, and it'll be just off a little bit, and everybody will know it's Garrett's clap.
I used a sneeze once. Did you guys catch that?
You used what?
You sneezed at some point in a... You were having a sneeze attack one.
I mean, that sounds about right, yeah.
So I used that instead of the clap just to change it up a little bit. So
that's funny.
We can keep things interesting that way.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. We are excited to be here with Emily Johnson, and thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you just start out by telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of the position you're in right now.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. This is a pleasure. My first podcast. So
hey,
couldn't
welcome.
Have think of a better starter. So I have been, currently I'm at Together, which is a brand new female sports and culture media platform. Previously I was at the Players Tribune, and before that, Texas Football. My first job out of college. So right now at Together, I'm kind of heading and handling all things visual media, photo, video, branding at the very beginning, like kind of got here from the ground floor. So it's been a cool journey, kind of being really scrappy with it. First time at a startup. So having lots of those learnings as well, but it's been great.
What is that like being a part of a startup? You know, you kind of talked about it right there, but You really have to wear a lot of hats, right? And how did maybe some of the experiences you've had before prepare you for that kind of mentality?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, yeah, wearing lots of hats. I think I kind of knew going into this, like, I'm going to be stretched across a lot. But I think it's one of those things, too, that you don't truly know it until you're experiencing it. But it's been exciting because I'm in conversations. I'm at tables having conversations with people who, if I were at a bigger corporation, I probably wouldn't be in these rooms. So that's been really valuable. But I really do think kind of my time at Texas Football was really valuable. And it was valuable at Players Tribune as well, because at Texas Football, it was kind of like you need to shoot practice and then flip around and edit in like 3 hours, or take photos and flip them around quickly. And you're kind of just one man banding it, just making whatever you can. So I think my workflow there, just kind of the pace and knowing being efficient with what I got was important, because then that helped me at Players Tribune. And I was able to kind of nourish and flex like the graphic, photo, video, creative ideation, like all of it, which I think has been great, because I think now companies really want to have those like multi-tool creatives who can not just do one of the aspects of it, but kind of own a full arc of a production or content piece.
And for those that aren't familiar, can you give us a little background on Together, kind of its its start and, you know, what the mission of Together is.
Of course. So this was a company founded by Alex Morgan, Simone Manuel, Chloe Kim, and Sue Bird, who are all incredible like athletes who are gold medalists, the highest of the high. And they all sort of, as many people have noticed, just the inequity in between men's and women's sports and just more holistically men and women in general. And so when you look at sort of this dispersion of sports and culture and brands that exist within it, like on the women's side of it, the men's side, you get like a nice clean like distribution of different companies that exist. Like this is really culture focused, or this is really sport focused, or this merges them really well. On the women's side, it was pretty opposite ends of the spectrum, where it's like it's either just sort of a culture lifestyle brand or it's just sports. And there's this big white space that sort of existed that didn't necessarily merge those two things at a like year-round investment clip, where you would see brands invest in like the women's national team when it was a World Cup, and it was very cyclical. So that issue has been around, and this has kind of been a brand that's a long time coming, but it's really just a platform that's inclusive of all and not just sport related, although it is born out of sport. I think that's more just a vessel that, you know, we're going to have a lot of stories about identity, culture, lifestyle, and music, entertainment, just kind of a catch-all that for those younger girls that maybe need to see it in order to be it in that sense. So it's really just shining a light year round, no catches. It's not a checkbox. It's not a charity. This is just what we believe in. So it's really exciting because I feel like it's a brand that represents me as well as so many others. So it's just cool that I can work for a platform like this, and to see the response it's gotten is very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen especially from the NCAA tournament and things that have happened more recently, the disparities and all the challenges that come with that, just right in everybody's faces. And so how did you get involved on the ground floor with Together and get connected to the right people in order to be a part of this from the ground floor?
Yeah. So as we know, it's like the who you know industry. So my previous boss at the Players Tribune, Jessica Robertson, is now our chief content officer here Together. So when she ended up being recruited to launch this brand, and when she was leaving the Players Tribune, I obviously caught wind of where and what she was going to go build. So I reached out to the people who recruited her and basically was like, take me. Like, I want to help build this. So that's kind of how it happened. And it does help having someone who can speak to your work and who can trust you in that sense. So I think that definitely was in my favor. But yeah, it was a no-brainer for me. It kind of was just a big jump. You know, startups are risky. I had a great position at the Players Tribune and I loved it, and I love New York, but I was like, I have to go do this. Like, I can always go back to New York if I want to, but this was an opportunity that is really purpose-driven and just had to do it.
I think that's a really great insight too, just into the process of job hunting when you're young, is that, you know, you can always go back, you know, and I'm not saying take crazy, stupid risks, but a lot of people, you know, and I know I did when I was, you know, 24, 25, I thought a job change was like forever. Like, if I take this job, like, mm-hmm. I need to go in with the mentality that it's, you know, I don't know if I want to do this because it's a little too risky. Like, at some point, you can change jobs in a year. You can change jobs in 2 years. So I think having that mentality is important. And I think that's really cool that you speak to that. Have you felt that it's paid off so far?
Yeah, obviously. And I kind of did a similar thing with my jump to the Players Tribune, where I was, had been Texas football for a full year. And I was like, finally kind of like rooted in it. I had my like routine. I had my, sorry, that was my dog. I was comfortable in Austin, and then the opportunity Players Tribune came up, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? I just got comfortable here. Like, I'm good in Austin. And I was just like, it's New York and it's for the Players Tribune. Go. Like, it took me, this whole thought process happened in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, of course.
Where I was like, eh, and then I was like, oh my God, I have to. But Yeah. And that, of course, was very formative and like pivotal in my career. And this is the same thing where I knew I was going to be challenged and uncomfortable and wearing a lot of hats I hadn't worn, or like I'm a maker at heart, where I'm like just kind of go in my hole and make something. And for this job here, I'm having to do a lot of overseeing of the making and like working with editors or freelancers to communicate like what needs to happen for the final product. And I'm so used to being the one who's just doing it myself. So like that muscle in itself has been, oh my gosh, I've been using it so much. And I'm just like, whew, yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
That leads really well into my next question. I've said it on this podcast before. I hate when people say jack of all trades, master of none. Because I think it's very essential in our industry to be a jack of all trades. And you are a jack of all trades, all the trades. Between photo, all of your credits on your work are usually producer, co-producer, director, co-director, editor, camera operator, and you're proficient in all of them. I think your work is great across all of that. How do you approach a project when you're wearing all those hats, right? And you're telling a story from start to finish? Which one takes precedent, and how do you segment that out during a project, especially at something like a startup like Together, where maybe you don't have the crew you would have at the Players Tribune?
Yeah. So it's funny enough, like I probably still don't know how to completely delineate all of these roles from like director to executive producer to this. And I'm like, I've never known that delineation, because it's always been just do it all holistically. And like, I didn't know I was being a producer when I was producing things. And I didn't know I was a DP when I was shooting something. Like, I never knew. And I'm now just like, I'm like, oh, I should probably kind of categorize, just for the out, like, this is how the industry works, is you need to have categorization for it sometimes. But yeah, I think my approach is never in like to segment them. I'm more just like, what's the piece going to be? I almost see it at the finish line, knowing that I will have my hand in every process of it, which I think is incredibly helpful. Like, even when we have projects where we have people shoot it and we have someone else edit it, it's very hard to be that editor when you weren't on the ground shooting it. Like, there's just things that you maybe miss or you don't feel close to it. So I've been, I do feel lucky in the sense that like, if I shoot something, I have the opportunity to edit because I'm in it. I'm just so close to it. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that really answers it, but I never really delineated from it. I'm more just like, what's the best end product and what do I need to do to get there? And I know I'm going to plan it, shoot it, edit it. And that's about it.
You have a diverse skill set. And we talked a little bit before the episode and joked about it coming from YouTube to university, right? How do you, you know, you sit and you watch something and you say, I want to know how to do that. How does that process go of getting from here's a skill I don't have that I want to have to getting to executing that skill in the field at a high level for you?
Yeah, it's no short process, I think. I say YouTube University because like my degree is in sport management and business. And, you know, that's somewhat applicable to where I'm at now, just being in the sports industry, but creatively holding a camera. Like, I never went to a class. I don't know all the language of it. I don't know all like kind of the shortcuts to, I don't know how to light. I didn't know how to light. I didn't know what audio meant, audio mixing, like all these things. I was just like, huh. But I would find those couple of YouTubers, like Peter McKinnon. I love watching all of his stuff, because I think he breaks it down in a way that I really relate to. But I think I would say, like, if I were kind of like had this idea for a video to be like, oh, it'd be cool if this transition happened, or if I could, I'm trying to think of a really good example of that, but I'm kind of amiss on that. But I would basically, if I have the idea to do it, or if I see it in another video where I'm like, oh, that's cool, I literally just type into YouTube, like, how, it might take a couple search tries because I don't know like what I'm actually looking for. I'm like, how to make the sound like you're underwater, like, or how to certain things like that. We just do that. And then I kind of would just save videos, or I used to write down little tricks because I was still actually learning the Premiere interface. But yeah, I think I would just like go to YouTube, figure out how to do it, write down the little tricks to it, and then kind of use that. And then more often you use it a couple times and it just kind of becomes memory in that sense, like everything. It's a, yeah, long process.
Where do you look for inspiration? You know, not like the learning part of it, but the actual like artistic creative inspiration. Are there certain places that you go? Are there certain people that inspire you, or is it just very broad for you? What does that look like?
I think it's a little broad, and I think sometimes I'll get like creative inspiration from writers, or like I'm being at the Players Tribune, I think was one of my most formative experiences because I was working closely with our editorial staff who handles all of the incredible like written TPT pieces. And I learned how to tell stories that way. So I think finding the inspiration there in that sense of like what makes a good story, like that inspired me a lot to then, if you can get that down, everything else really comes with it. But I think, like I mentioned, I mean, we used to watch Casey Neistat all of the time, and taking from him, he always told stories and he did it creatively in ways that he could take a map of New York City and tell an entire story just from a bird's eye view angle in his office. Like just the creativity there of not needing a lot to make something great as long as you're telling a story with it. And then Peter McKinnon, just brilliant and just like very clean and good work, and has a lot of good tips for someone like me who's not on a massive set with a Arri cinema camera. Like I'm a very specific level of creator, and so those two people have been, I think, pretty formative in my influence and creative influence. And then just I've worked with so many incredible creatives and minds, especially at Players Tribune, especially here at Together, where it's just like it's always constantly challenging me creatively. And I'm really lucky, I think, for my career so far and who I've gotten to learn with. So hopefully I can pass that along as well.
I think everybody should watch Casey Neistat and just how he tells stories. I know there's a formula to it, right? And some creators roll their eyes at it. But at the end, like you said, he can tell a story with a potato as a camera and make it compelling, right? And and especially me, because I'm not a very good storyteller, but I'm a huge gearhead. A lot of people think like, oh, if I just get the next camera, my stories are finally going to be cinematic. And it's like, well, no, that's not true at all. What makes your story cinematic is the story, right? And I think Casey Neistat does a really, really unbelievable job of cinematic is not the word I'd use to describe his storytelling, right? But good stories are good stories, and he can make any story into a good story is probably the better way to put his style.
Yeah. And I think to your point about gear, like you don't need it all. I mean, you do, but like you can go tell a story with an iPhone in terms of like I do a little Instagram series that's photo based, but it's like two sides to every court and it's flipping back and forth. Simple concept, but like I just take them on my iPhone and it's my most engaged like social. I mean, not that right. I have series on my pages, but like I get crazy engagement on it and people love it. And I'm like, there's something to that, something so simple, but you're still telling a story and it's sort of just like visually compelling because it all lines up. So you're checking a few boxes in terms of like what people like latch into. So yeah, I think it's just, he's been a pretty big inspiration in that sense for sure.
The gear is gravy, right? Like food's better with gravy, right? But you can still eat without gravy.
Yeah.
You still have good food without
unless
gravy.
Unless you're like me and can't have sodium.
Well, then we've got a lot of problems.
So gravy's off the table. So it's just dry potatoes for me.
I love gravy.
I wanted to push a little bit more into sitting with the writers at, at your last stop. So what did you learn from them specifically that helped influence how you tell a story from a video perspective? And are there any small things that you picked up that you do religiously today, like in order for me to have this story really hit home, I need X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I haven't reflected on this in a while, so this is probably a good exercise for me to do as well. But I think the editing room at Players Tribune is top tier. I think there's other publishers who have incredible writers, but in the sports space, I think they're kind of unmatched. And I came into Players Tribune really not knowing how to tell a story. I might've been like, yes, I know how to tell a story, but there's a difference between telling a story and like doing a story justice, in terms of there are like tons of visceral details or things that paint a picture in your mind that they were able to bring out of the pages of the writing, just with words, of tapping into like all the five senses. And like one of the questions that they would always ask is like, at a pivotal point in this subject's life or whatever, to describe that in the most details possible, sensory wise, smell, colors, feel, touch, like weather, all of this stuff, because you're able to get these very specific, unique anecdotes from the story that they wouldn't give if you were to ask sort of the general media questions. And so I learned sort of how you can find those unique sound bites that make for a really good hook at the intro of a video, or make for sort of that aha moment sound bite. Because for video, it's very different from written in that you have to get it out of them saying it, versus written, it's a little more flexible in that sense. So I learned a lot about how to get and how to interview athletes to kind of get those details about them. But yeah, they're brilliant. And I still, to that day, I'm always asking myself sort of these questions that whenever I would make videos, and the notes I would receive on the videos about questions are like, why should I care? How is this video different than maybe what ESPN would do? Like, what's making this special? What's making this authentic and vulnerable? So I constantly just like asking myself those questions of like, you don't want this to be the cookie cutter video that people would expect. You want to be able to get these really intimate, authentic details out of the subject. So I definitely learned how to take storytelling a couple layers deeper than what athletes are maybe used to going.
And how do you go about even kind of starting that process of, you know, tracking down the stories and finding some of you? Because looking at Together's website, there's some things on there that just may not be mainstream stories. You know, I watched the surfing, the first episode of the surfing video, and like tracking those kind of things down and finding those stories that aren't being covered elsewhere is one of the hardest things to do. How do you go about doing that, and why is that important to you?
It's, gosh, I wish there was like a actual equation for like doing this, but like for the Surf Girls, for example, like it all started where when we were building this company, we're trying to figure out, okay, we're a tiny team and we're going to have to expand to having a bunch of partnerships or creative partnerships of makers, producers, shooters. And I came across this group called the Narnar Honeys, and I was just in love with their mission. And it's just a group of women, mostly BIPOC women, who are creating and telling all of these incredible stories sort of as a smaller intimate agency. So got on the phone with them to just sort of say, hey, we're open to pitches. That's kind of, we sourced a lot of pitches from people. And we knew that we kind of wanted to cover Native Hawaiian surfing and the Native culture. And they're like, we actually want to do a series like that. And we have relationships there. So that kind of worked out really nicely. But other than that, we're kind of just always on the like internet. We have like a Slack channel that's ideas, and we'll find, we did one of a series on Karis Rogers, who's a young Black girl in LA who made her own clothing line because she got bullied for being too dark. And so we found her online, just like, I think through Instagram. I think Nike LA had done some stuff with her. So like, we are like, okay, she's in our backyard and she represents everything that this brand needs to represent. And the, just sort of the entrepreneurial spirit and unapologetic and passion. So we reached out to her. But a lot of it's just kind of looking through Instagram, looking through our previous relationships and seeing, there's not really one right way to do it, but sometimes we get inbound pitches as well, which is great because then we can be like, yes, let's do it. But sometimes we have very specific like types of videos we want to make or people we want to highlight. So we kind of go out looking for that in that sense.
And then developing the story, you know, how do you go about deciding what pieces to focus on? What, I mean, like there's so many routes you can take. I mean, is there a process that you go through? My wife is a fifth grade teacher. And so we talk about like, how would you explain this story to a fifth grader is always my starting point. But like, is there something like that for you where, you know, when you discover a story that you want to tell, that you then go about breaking it down into, you know, its essential pieces?
Yeah. So I think that's something I've struggled with a lot. And I know a lot of other kind of storytellers do, is that you want to tell the whole story and you want to go like start to finish and yes, touch everything, but you can't, in terms of like, you do have to focus in on something in particular a bit. Like it's kind of a percentage thing, I feel like, where if I'm going to go to this piece that we did on Sarah Gordon, who's a NWSL player for the Chicago Red Stars. And we did a series on her about a nonprofit organization called Hood Space that she'd made in Chicago. And in the video and planning it, we're like, we want to tell the whole story of Sarah, but we can't necessarily, because we can't spend too much time on it, because this is about Hood Space and we need to focus and like really flesh that part of it out. But it's not an either or. It's, we can tell you a little bit about Sarah at the beginning and establish why Hood Space matters to who she was as a young girl, and then kind of go from there. But yeah, it's a bit of a percentage game, I think, but it's hard to narrow in on what the sort of crux of the story is. What's the unique thing that hasn't maybe been talked about? What's going to resonate with people? It's tough to kind of pick and choose, but we try to do everything we can with it. And if we can't talk a whole lot about who they are, we're at least mentioning it for sure. And giving you just enough to kind of get an idea of them. But sometimes pieces have to serve a purpose rather than being like a lifelong feature. So it's a tough game to play a little bit.
Yeah. We had a professor in college, Trina Creighton, who used to tell us, leave them wanting more. So anytime I watch a piece, I try and look at it from that perspective. That she was honest about that. I think she said it like 20 times per class. It was like, leave them wanting more. And in college, when you're creating videos, it's, you want to tell you, that's what happens when you tell the whole story. People go, okay, now I'm done with this. But if you give them a part of the story, then it helps them invest more and like want to look up more, and kind of opens that gap of curiosity, I think, a little bit too, which is, it's cool to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think sometimes pieces, especially pieces that we make or I've made in the past, really just serve as a window into who they are and what they're about. And then you have that room then to go explore further. But sometimes like the most, like the best, and less is more, I think, in a lot. I think sometimes for video, you can overtell a story, or you can talk about it without showing, like we always say, show, don't tell. So we don't need to hear her talking about certain things if we're showing her doing these certain things or showing visuals of it. So yeah, there's definitely a sweet spot, and not being too long, but then also going, there's more to know about her. This, but our focus right now is just to talk about this one aspect. So
what does your pre-production look like? If I'm assuming that you do some investment up front, if you're going to lay out a story arc, you just talked about show, not tell. So do you have an idea of the shots that you're going to capture ahead of time before you get into the story? Do you let the interview kind of lead the way and decide from there? How do you go about that process?
Generally, like especially here at Together, when we sort of have a piece go into motion, and depending on whether I'm actually able to go shoot it or if we need to go hire freelance, we will do like a creative treatment for it. That's pretty baseline. We create a mood board that's sort of like, this is what the piece should feel like. Here are some aspects. Like we'll just literally go on their Instagram and find kind of like vibes from them that we want to lean into. And then we pull some like video examples of usually a lot from Nike. Nike does a great job with just like their intros and stuff of their pieces. So we sort of build out what this piece should feel like in a sense. And then if we're sometimes unfortunately at like a time constraint with this, our talent, who we're telling the story on, or be like, oh, we have 5 hours with them, or we have 2 days. It's always in flux depending on schedules. So we'll always get a master interview, and then we try to push for as much B-roll as possible, like on the day of, whether that's like video portraits or maybe following them around day in the lifestyle. But we also make a wish list of sort of archival stuff that we know we'll need to collect, old photos, like current day photos, just to make sure that we are showing, not telling in that sense. So yeah, it's a little different for all of them, but we kind of go in, I would say, with not as much preparation as some of these bigger productions that maybe have like crew and all this. It's kind of like plan a little bit, but then make the most of what you get. So sometimes I'm like, it stresses me out a bit. I'm a big planner, and I want to like kind of be able to nail down everything, but I've learned to just be pretty fluid with it and kind of having to make game calls like on the day of. But yeah, usually it all works out. So,
but I think that's the biggest thing I've learned as a producer on my end, is just you plan so you can be prepared when things go wrong. Not everything has to, or not even goes wrong, but just gets changed. The unexpected happens. Like, that's where the planning comes in as a producer for me, is just finding, you know, I want to be as prepared as I can with flexibility. I don't need to have everything planned down to the moment. I just need to know, okay, what's my backup if something changes? You know, how can I think about this and just know the story well enough that, okay, I didn't get, you know, this interview that I wanted. Who else could I talk to fill in that gap? Or what scene could I create to fill in that gap? And I think one thing you talked about there too was how important the B-roll is. You know, the interview's great. You get that first master interview. And I just think the industry's changed so much in the social media era, where interviews used to be everything. It was the sit-down interview. That was the content. And now what people want to see are those moments, that access, that raw. They want to feel like they're a part of that life, because that's what they've seen on social media now. How do you go about creating scenes and creating moments rather than just relying on the interview to be the base of stuff that you create?
Yeah, it's sometimes it's pretty difficult, because we'll be limited on access, or maybe, you know, the day that we have with them and we get the master interview, the B-roll we get isn't necessarily supporting like what they've talked about. It's just kind of what we have to work with. So we have to get pretty creative, I think, multimedia wise, to sit there and go, all right, well, we can get these pictures and we can like strip these parts and she can send us this video. And how, like, yeah, creating moments of those is difficult. So we find that visually we have to kind of spice things up a bit, or add movement to all of them just to make it sort of dynamic and engaging. But I will say, one of the when I did at Players Tribune, when I did Bad as a Mother with Sydney LaRue, what made those moments so easy is because Sydney's personality was just like radiant, and she could carry a moment by doing dishes, literally, with just by her commentary. So generally, like, it's kind of a toss up a little bit in terms of how moments come together or how much you kind of have to materialize them yourself. But yeah, I do find that, at least for some of these pieces, we like to include some of those like moments of breathing that are just like someone making their coffee. Like, it's not everything has to be so quick hit. I think pacing and edits is something that is incredibly undervalued and is a very hard sweet spot to hit, but it's so important. And I think, like, early on at Players Tribune, the note I got the most was let it breathe. Like, I was always trying to go back and back and back. And so literally being okay with, like, it's okay to insert this like 15 second ambient scene to it, to like really let things digest. I don't know. So yeah, I'm still constantly learning, and I'm now having to kind of impart that knowledge on people who are maybe a more junior version of me. And I'm like, wow, look at me, coming far. But yeah, it's always different. Every single piece is different.
I feel like that's the most feedback I've had to give lately too, is let it breathe. I mean, we all get so accustomed to the social media world where everything is fast hitting. It's less than a minute, or keep it under a minute, make it square, and bang, 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 and you got to get in and out, tell the story, and be done with it. And especially when you get into the longer form stories, people need to sit back and absorb what they just heard and what they saw. So I think that's really important, and glad you called that out, because I think that's something that a lot of people probably need to hear.
Yeah, and I think as much as like letting it breathe, like adding contrast into pieces, I think is important. Of like, sometimes if you have a really, like we actually just did a piece on Deanna Matos, who's a dancer, and she's like done background dancing for Cardi B and Beyonce. Like, so you can imagine her energy is so high. All of her dancing is so like impactful, filled with passion. And it's like, we have so much of that in the piece that like, when we cut to her just like making coffee, it's just nice because you're seeing her in a completely different element, and you're just even like humanizing her even more to be like, okay, yeah, I just did that this morning. Like, I think adding contrast is really valuable as well, specifically for people who are maybe just known for one thing. Like, you know, oh, she's more than just being a dancer. So she's X, Y, and Z. So how do we show that? And how do we show that through these moments? Sorry, I just kind of tangentially went off there, but
that's good.
I mean, for you, this company that you're a part of now, you mentioned obviously was founded by very influential women, very well-known athletes. You know, what kind of doors have you seen that open as far as the things that you've been able to cover? You know, do you think it's given you an opportunity to maybe, you know, talk to some people, get into some rooms that you wouldn't otherwise, just because of, you know, what this brand means and the people behind it?
Yeah. I mean, I think me specifically, I've been able to meet with people, brands, be in conversations that maybe I may be batting above my average there, but at the same time, I also belong in those rooms. So it's kind of also reminding myself that, but as a company, it's incredible to see how many people are coming to us, wanting to work with us, wanting to invest in us, because of what we represent, and we do it so authentically. And everyone can see that, I think. So, and everyone knows and loves Alex, Sue, Simone, and Chloe. So it's been special. And I think it's kind of opportunities are, we're at the point now where it's a great problem to have, where we're having to maybe be a little bit more choosy with opportunities or things that come our way, which it's no fun to turn people down, but at the same time, like, it's a great problem to have, and it shows that the investment is there and it's going to continue to be there. So that's why we exist.
Well, and being, you know, a woman in this industry, obviously there's just a lot of different challenges. It's a very male dominated industry. You've been part of your Texas football. You've been a part of Players Tribune. And I imagine that all those spaces were fairly male dominated, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what is it like being part of a team like this that is female founded, female focused, and what kind of, I mean, is it a different vibe for you? Is it just, what is that like compared to what you've been a part of in the past, and not necessarily negatively, just in general?
So Texas football, definitely male dominated. There was like maybe three or four women on staff. But Players Tribune was actually like the distribution. I guess if you were to look at like how it breaks down, I think it was like maybe more women than men. And especially like, I think Players Tribune, and mostly in part too, because Jessica Robertson, who's now my boss here, she was one of the founding members of Players Tribune like early on, who was really the key person to covering women's stories at Players Tribune. So I walked into an environment that already valued women and valued women's stories and invested in them, which I think is rare. Not like most companies aren't like that. And I think Players Tribune was very clear in their positioning on that. And everyone always knew like Players Tribune was covering women continuously. And now to come here and essentially a entire team full of women working with each other every single day. It's really, really special, I think, because all of us have had very shared experiences being a woman and just being a woman in life, like, and knowing that we're all coming together and there's a bit more skin in the game for us, knowing that this is a brand that's
meant for us. I think it's just sort of, it's very passion driven. And I think women get shit done and it's just like very obvious. So yeah, I think it's pretty special, just to have an entire staff of women really running this.
I think one of the things that stood out to me when I watched the brand video for Together is that it separated the words, the motion design separated the words to get her. And obviously being a female focused brand, there had to be some intention behind that. Do you have insight or background into how that name came to be?
I have all the insights. I was very,
that's what,
very
that's involved. What we wanted you on for. This is perfect.
So the cool thing about it, the one thing that we laugh about and joke about is this all was happening prior to the pandemic. And as you saw in the pandemic, the word together was used in basically every print advertising. Everyone used it. So like that was not intentional at all. We were like, oh man, do we need to change names? But really the whole purpose of having the X rather than the E at the end of it was a multitude of different reasons. The first being that X was the multiplication symbol, and we really like to lean into like the multiplier, multi-hyphenate, that like we always use the example like Alex Morgan. Yes, she's an athlete, but she's a mom, daughter, entrepreneur, etc. So really leaning into being more than just one thing. And then we really wanted to, I think a lot of times brands are, will maybe like lean into the her aspect of things to like draw attention to gender. And we kind of wanted to flip that on its head a bit with our name, at least outwardly, to be like kind of eliminating that binary of gender. Like, yes, we are a brand that's mostly and like really only covers women, but we're not exclusionary and we want it to be a space that basically everyone can feel welcome in. We didn't want to completely silo ourselves that way. So, and it just so happened that the word broke down to get her. So yeah, there's a kind of a number of different reasons, but it felt all encompassing of community, strong, not masculine, not feminine, and kind of just like a sweet spot. We went through months of iterations of names and just like the number, we're like, oh my gosh, we love this name. And then like there'd be one little like hook where we couldn't do it. So the naming process was a long process, but I think ultimately this name kind of encapsulates so much of what we stand for and want to be known for. And I think the X just kind of sets us apart a little bit in terms of not really leaning into the binary of gender. Because like when we say women, we mean all women, that's trans women. So it just needs to be inclusive space for so many people. So that's really what we strive to do.
I want to kind of talk a little bit about the intersection of culture and sports for a minute, because like that's something that it seems you probably got a little of it, Players Tribune, but like this, you know, Together seems to be a lot more culture heavy, maybe, you know, that there's definitely a sports influence, but it's, you know, there's more to it than that. And how do you go about deciding what's interesting in culture? I mean, like, is it just, you know, talks within the organization, like what stands out to you personally? Is it, you know, something that you, how do you go about finding inspiration culturally with especially your background being so heavily sports focused?
Yeah, I think that's a good call out for us. Like this might sound like really cheesy, but we let culture tell us what to cover in a sense of like,
yeah,
we kind of have a really great pulse on what's going on and what's hot and important stories or voices that need to be amplified. And we're not a company that's afraid to take a stance and like express political perspectives in that sense. Just like, I think our content will tell you where we stand on things and what we believe in without like outwardly saying it. But yeah, I think for us, a lot of we have to make very conscious efforts to position ourselves outside of sport because we're founded by four athletes. So everyone is naturally like, oh, I want to work for you guys. You cover sports. And it's like, we do. Yeah. But we're really trying to consciously show that we're born out of sport, but we're so much more and we're covering so much more than that, which is why selecting some of our content pieces. We're making conscious efforts to select sport adjacent or non-sport stories to tell. And so it really just kind of comes naturally, being that our team and the voices on our team, we're literally asking ourselves every day, like, is this something I like? Is this something that represents me? And that's generally a very safe test to be like, should we cover it? So that is the beauty of it. We're basically our whole team. This is a brand for us, and we're just an extension and representation of who our audience is.
You mentioned being born out of sport, and this is a little tangential, but I know I read that you started as an athlete, right, in college, and where did the interest in content come from? I mean, was it more that you were interested in sports first and then found content, or did you always kind of have that love for content and then kind of marry that to what you enjoyed about sport?
I think it was the latter there, where I really became keen to capturing moments, which started on my phone with a video app that I could just put music to it. And there you have like a highlight reel of the hike you just did. So I kind of became obsessed with capturing moments, or like preserving memories in that sense, for like myself personally or my friends and what we did. And then when I was playing at Texas, I was also grappling with sort of like an inner issue of, I'm not obsessed with basketball anymore to be this dedicated at this level for it. And so I kind of went back and forth with myself a lot, but I stepped away from it and was basically just like, I want to be involved in it still. And I noticed that our like social media presence, like there wasn't necessarily resources allocated to the women's basketball team in that sense to kind of create a brand and help with recruiting. So I basically was like, can I help there? What can I do there? Can I just kind of take the keys and run with it? Within reason, I had, but basically was just kind of like at practice, YouTube University, learning how to do Photoshop, making recruitment graphics, or like, it's game day. And man, those things are terrible. I like look back, I found one of them and I was like, whew. I like would download Photoshop actions that would add flames and stuff, whole thing. So I've been there, done that, but that's all part of the process. But yeah, I just fell in love with creating things and capturing and all of that.
There's nothing more inspiring when you're in a low moment than watching the stuff that you first started making. I look back at stuff I created for the Nebraska softball team when I was working with them back in college. And I cannot believe anyone paid me to make that stuff. And it's wild. It's so fun to see how much you've grown, because you can't believe that you made that stuff and you just laugh at it now.
But you can always see little elements, right? When you go back, you can see little elements of like, oh, I did this, but now I do it way better, right? I always feel like when I look at old stuff, I can always say, I did this, but now I just do it way better.
Yeah, I remember I invested in a GoPro early on and I was like making videos of that. And my sister was like making her recruitment decision to go play basketball. And I made an announcement video for her where I literally were in a basketball gym and you can like see the camera movement where I'm literally in a rolly chair pulling the GoPro back to get like a dolly shot. And I'm just like, wow. And I like hold it on a stick up by like the basketball net. It was like, I was creative with it though. I was like, I just needed to get a couple more reps in.
Reps, that's always the key.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you think you've seen the biggest growth in your career over the last, you know, 5-ish years, or, you know, however long it's been for you that you've kind of been out here, I guess, what, 4 years and of college? And, you know, where do you think that you've grown the most, and where do you think that you see your career go? Where do you want to grow next?
Oh, the age-old question. I mean, yeah, weird that it's only been 4 years. I feel like it's been a lot longer. I think there's not really one place I can like pinpoint where I've grown, except if that were to be a pinpointed, it would just be storytelling. Like Players Tribune literally taught me so much. But I think just in general, like the time it takes me to get from idea to like, or I guess from like filming it to being done with the edit,
is completely more efficient, and I'm more, I think I'm more strategic up front, knowing what I need to do and what like bumps I might hit that I can plan for. Literally, I didn't know how to make a multicam sequence for like the longest time, and I was manually matching up interview stuff, like very, very early days at Players Tribune, very early days. But I was just like little things, like incrementally, and just like learning more about like what a final product should be and how to get there. I think that's probably where I've had the most growth, which seems pretty natural to say that, but storytelling for sure. That's a big one, I think.
Kind of a follow-up to that. Was there a big aha moment on something, whether that was technical or storytelling, where you just sat there, whether it's the multicam or something like that? I laugh because I've totally been there before. Like, I knew what Pluralize was, and before things could do it themselves, I would do like the exact same thing frame by frame. But was there ever like a big aha moment where it was like, oh, this is the way I need to do things, or this is the way I need to tell these types of stories from now on?
I would say I did learn a lot doing the Bad as a Mother series at Players Tribune. I kind of owned that close to that entire thing and owned the edit on it. And I had never done anything episodic before, so the organization was very key. And I think it wasn't necessarily an aha moment while I was editing that. It was more after the fact, where I was like, holy shit, next time I do that, I'm going to be 5 times quicker, because I know now how it needs to be structured, how I need to build out moments for these episodes to work and to like kind of keep the audience's attention, and ways that I can maximize my workflow. So definitely like that, I think after that series, I was like, all right, it exposed a lot of holes in my process and workflow. So I would say that might be the moment.
I want to go back to, you said mood board, and course of this conversation, I've heard a lot of design terminology that's used, and I don't know that a lot of people maybe know what a mood board is. And if they do, I guess it'd be interesting to hear how you approach that. But it sounds like you very much have, for being a YouTube University student, that you very much have a design way of approaching your work when it comes to the video production side. And I think that's really cool. And that's not something that I expected to hear. So can you just talk about what a mood board is and how you came across it and why it's a big part of your process now?
Yeah. So I think inherently I'm an incredibly visual person. I like communicate through visuals. I could make a video for you before I could write you a long letter. Like, that's just kind of my strength. And I've always been drawn to visuals, or like just architecture or like beautiful elements. And I was just like, oh, it's like very satisfying to have kind of clean lines and stuff like that. So mood boards, like a lot of people would make, it's basically like Pinterest in a sense of, it's your inspiration all in one central location, and you see it all together, and you see how elements kind of flow together, colors, textures, like even if it's just a photo. So like what I'll do for video is, let's say like we just did a piece on Sadel Curry Lee, and it was for our series More Than a Name. And part of honing in on the the focus of the piece is also honing in visually on that. I think that helps a lot. So with her journey, we wanted to figure out like how we can really bring her personality out, which really just resulted in going to her Instagram page and finding some of the moments where she looked the most like glowing, carefree, authentic moments, and like mood boarding those, because like we want that part of her to come out. And then she's so big into mental health and advocating for that, but she does so in a way that's like super just like personable. So it's like I put on the mood board basically like typography mental health like message that she had on her page, because like I think that her way of advocating for mental health came across in that sense. It's hard to explain what goes through my head, but it's basically like a vibe check for videos. And ultimately, when you see the final piece, you want what you put in the mood board to kind of come through, and helps you kind of focus on certain aspects of them. But I'm very visual. I love it. I think it probably helps with like my photos and stuff. And I just love design and anything in that vein. So very helpful in that sense too.
Thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.
Oh my gosh, this was a blast.